According to Matthew, glory to you, Lord Christ. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, life has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
So when we first meet someone that we don't know, we usually exchange names, although not always, but usually that's how we greet someone. And then there's that next question that comes. So, what do you do for a living? Now, depending on your personality or depending on what job you hold, you either really look forward to this question or you really dread it, right? Especially if you're not really very much liking your job right now, or perhaps you're in a time where you've been in between jobs, trying to find a job, or would literally just love to talk about anything else but what you do for a living or hear what they do for a living. A certain author once shared his thoughts about this question. This what do you do for a living question, finding the question itself rather odd. He says this, "They may as well ask me, so, how do you make money?" To which I then respond in turn by just telling them how I make money. And then we judge each other on the way the other person makes money and how much more or less money we think the other person makes. And in the end, I don't really know more about who they are. I just know about their employment status, and maybe, perhaps, which tax bracket they might fall into. So instead, he offers an alternative way to answer the question. He says, "Well, I'm really passionate about writing, and I'm passionate about helping people." He says, "I like to tell people my passions rather than my position. It helps people understand more about what I feel called to do in the world, whether or not I actually get, in fact, paid to do that." So while vocations can certainly be callings, they can be aligned, not all vocations are filled necessarily by people who feel called to them. This gets us challenging for us today because we often use this phrase, vocation, interchangeably with just what your job is, how you make a living. And this is even further complicated when used to talk about the vocation of clergy, but more on that later. In today's gospel, we have a story of calling, a story about vocation. It's actually an overlap of callings. Jesus is living into his own calling, his own vocation as Messiah. And as a part of that, Jesus also calls two sets of brothers to follow him as he lives into his call, announcing and embodying the kingdom of God and inviting others to join in. This calling for Jesus, though, is one that is experienced in the midst of pain, of fear, anger, and injustice, perhaps. As we read, John, Jesus' relative, his baptizer, his co-laborer in the work of God, has been unjustly imprisoned for speaking truth to power. I imagine that Jesus may have struggled when he heard this news. I know I would have. Perhaps it even reminded him of those stories from his youth of another Herod who did unspeakable things when his own power was threatened. Perhaps he thought about how he might try to come to John's aid or at least visit him while he was in prison. Or he thought maybe even about fleeing again from yet another despotic ruler. But instead, Jesus goes to Galilee. And we aren't told exactly why, except that Matthew notes that this happens to fulfill scripture and prophecy, which is very good if you're the Messiah. And it also seems that Matthew is sort of kind of making this case for this Messiah who is doing work in a different way than maybe others would have expected, not going to the center of power in religious life, which is Jerusalem, but actually going to Galilee, this sort of outskirts, backwoods area, a place that was war-torn, ethnically diverse. And Jesus chooses, while he's there, to call normal businessmen and laborers to follow him and to be a part of this kingdom renewal project. Not the elite, not the religious leaders of the day, but fishermen. And again, not those we might expect to be the cream of the crop for such an endeavor. I don't know that these would be people that I would choose, necessarily. Jesus calls them. He says, literally, come here after me. Get behind me. Do what I do. Leave your jobs. Leave your families and livelihood. And you're going to learn how to fish for people, whatever that means, and heal the sick, and travel around with me. Right. You know, all the things that totally make sense to do. Often, following one's sense of calling really doesn't seem to make sense at first. Needless to say, for me, I've had a lot of conversations recently over my own sense of calling. In case you didn't know, it's kind of a big reason why I'm here. The fancy word for it is discernment, right? I'm in a program called Discerning Ordained Vocation. I know it sounds super important. And it kind of is. I'm often asked to tell the story of my calling to ministry. It's something that I've been encouraged and counseled to get really good at telling, my own calling story. And I've done this now dozens and dozens of times, it seems. And more recently, I had a realization that's been really comforting to me. There's a lot about my own story of calling that also doesn't seem to make sense. But I feel like I'm in good company, because that seems to be true of Jesus and those who followed after him as well. Now, don't get me wrong. There's plenty in my own story that maybe does make sense. I mean, my dad is a minister. I grew up in church. I was often asked if I was going into the family business. I received theological training. I was even ordained in a different church tradition, so apparently it made sense at some point to some people that this is something that I should be doing. I grew up just outside of Atlanta, went to school in Kentucky, and then moved to Baltimore to actually help to be a part of starting a new church there about 10 or 11 years ago. And my mom asked the question, why couldn't I have started a church a little bit closer to home? Or maybe started an established church first. That would be a nice thing for you to do. These are the things that mothers say. But for her and certainly for others I grew up with, I may as well have moved to Connecticut or Boston or somewhere. Baltimore is the north if you're a Georgian. Perhaps maybe even a little bit like Galilee in their eyes. Who knows? But I moved to Baltimore with the sense that, by and large, many churches, even though they've had their best efforts to continue to do faithful work, some had abandoned their communities, even physically, moving outside the city, and if they had stayed, had not necessarily been as faithful as they could have been in serving their communities right around them, their literal neighbors, getting increasingly disconnected from communities. And so that was a big passion that brought me to Baltimore to help to start a new community, which ended up growing into three different neighborhood-based church communities in Baltimore. And it was almost exactly 3 years ago, actually to the day, that my last day, I spent my last day serving at the church that I had helped to start. Eerily enough, actually, my last work day was inauguration day for the current president. I've chosen not to read anything into that. Other than this, that now President Obama and I have one point of parallel in our resume timelines, it also being his last day of work. So people have often asked me why I left my previous ministry position. I was serving as a lead pastor at a thriving and loving church in just like any community, there's no such thing as a perfect community, but it was good, and it was a loving place. And there are really long answers maybe to that question, none of which are particularly salacious or intriguing. I'm just very good at giving long answers. But the short answer is this. I felt stirred up by God. God interrupted my plans and thoughts, and he invited me to take a step following onto a different path. It felt the closest thing to a clear calling since I had first felt that initial nudge toward vocational ministry as a college student. Now, there's a lot about it that didn't make sense. I went from working full-time as a pastor in a church that was loving to working now part-time at a nonprofit, taking more classes at seminary, read net loss of income and increased expenses. I worked in a field I knew less about, having to learn a lot on the job about community and public health, about community organizing, about nonprofit leadership, which, by the way, these are all very helpful skills in ministry. I joined a church in a tradition that actually doesn't recognize my previous ordination, meaning I needed to start a lengthy, quote, reordination process. And I felt called to serve in Baltimore City and was assigned as an intern to a church all the way in Highland, Maryland. That's right. That's right. And my wife and I also, in this time, decided to try to expand our family through becoming foster parents and then surprisingly became pregnant after nearly 6 years of struggling with infertility. I'm not trying to hold my life up as an example or as a model at all. These are not things I necessarily always set out to do intentionally, much like Jesus, I'm sure, did. But there seems to be a certain grace at work as I look back, and I appreciate how God may have been at work along the way as I was just seeking to respond to this call, one that I could faintly hear. And it helps me to believe a little bit more that I was doing my best at trying to become the person I was being called to be. It was my own sort of response. Sure, I don't know what I'm getting into with this whole fishing for people business, but I'm in. I'm dropping the nets. Let's go. But I wonder what following a sense of calling was like for Jesus as well. What is it that causes you to know that the time has come to go to a different place, to begin a completely new season of ministry, and to go to a place like Galilee and to pick these guys? Each step up until that point, it mattered, but sometimes we could only see how it mattered in hindsight, although again, having quotes from the prophets helps. There's something key to how Jesus begins in his ministry. Jesus' ministry is about community from start to finish. Jesus' baptism is about him belonging to a community, identifying with that community in their repentance. There's the community and witness of the Trinity at his baptism, the community and presence of attending angels in the wilderness, and now a forming of a community in Galilee of disciples to proclaim and embody the kingdom of God. It's a calling that is formed by and forms community. I love this quote from another priest who says this: the primary form for the transmission of the gospel is the community of the church. The primary form for the transmission of the gospel is the community of the church. The Christian faith in its fullness is properly only seen in an embodied community of believers. And calling is best heard, answered, and embodied in community. And our church recognizes this. This is why we do discernment in community. We take time to listen together, to pray together, to ask questions and hold up the answers that we can come up with and examine those. And as I continue on in this process myself, I'll continue to meet with other leaders and those in diocesan positions and bishops and other clergy and other lay people. And we'll listen together to this sense of call and ask God about it and ask what is a faithful response. We'll seek to discover it together. And we will embody that answer also together. The call that Jesus extended to his first followers is the same calling that he extends to us. And it does the same work in us that it did then. It creates and it cultivates a community of the kingdom. We are bound together by our common calling. to proclaim the good news of our good God and to be a community of healing and of love. So this is partly why, quote, my calling is in fact not really mine. It's Jesus' calling. He's the one who calls. It belongs to him. And he doesn't also just call me alone. He calls all of us. Our calling might actually be more accurately described as our answer to the calling. The way of life, the choice of vocation, is our response to the call of Jesus to follow him. And in a very real sense, that's the work that we've been seeking to do together here while I've been able to serve as an intern. Been asking questions. What ways am I called to answer the call of God? What does it look like? And I've been grateful to learn from you, to learn how St. Mark's is seeking to be the answer to that call of Jesus together as a community. Been able to be a part of different ministry initiatives and teams here in my 5 months here, being a part of the Eucharistic visiting team, being able to be and bring the body of Christ to those who need it most, to be strengthened and encouraged, to serve alongside you at Guardian Angel, blessing so many families with gifts for Christmas and encouraging people there during a very challenging season, to see you rally around others in times of significant loss with the passing of too many loved ones in the last months, to learn how you're leveraging the resources God has given you to minister to seafarers, to meet the needs of those who are in need of housing and home repair with Dream Builders, to work to support new places of ministry. I even got to experience the longest vestry meeting on record, at least since Taylor has been here. That's what he informed me. But it was long because you truly wanted to talk about how to best utilize those resources that have been entrusted to you as a community. That was what much of the conversation was about. And finally, you've poured your time into me, your acceptance, your experiences, your feedback, your insights, your wisdom, helping to clarify a specific sense of vocation for me to serve the church and the world as a potential future priest. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your investment in me, but more so, thank you for answering Jesus' call. Thank you for helping me better hear my own. This is the essence of what it means to be a community that follows Jesus. And yet still, Jesus continues to beckon us to come and follow. And sometimes that calling can be new and fresh. So what does a calling from Jesus really sound like? I mean, how do we really know that it's Jesus that's calling us? I wish that I could answer that definitively and succinctly, but our gospel today does give us some clues and some questions that might provide some considerations around calling. The first is this: as you sense that there might be a calling, is it something that you believe that Jesus would invite you to do were he here now with you today, physically present? Is it something that you can imagine coming out of the mouth of Jesus? Does it have something to do with proclaiming the good news of God and God's kingdom? Does it have something to do with healing others, tending to those who are most marginalized, to serving the world? If so, it might be a calling from God. Secondly, do you feel this sense of immediacy or a sense of excitement as you think about this potential new venture and calling, this invitation? I can tell you, for me, when I meet with future colleagues, other clergy, and hear about what they're doing as they serve their parishes and their communities, the good, the bad, and the not so good, my pulse quickens. I feel it in my body. I get excited. I want to be doing that sort of work. That's something I'm paying attention to. Is there something in you as well that you feel it in your body, a response, an excitement, an immediacy to do something? Perhaps Jesus is calling you. Also, is it something that comes at a cost? Jesus' followers dropped their nets. They left their family businesses to follow Jesus. They left their sense of livelihood and laid down some significant security for the sake of following Jesus. Is there a cost to this invitation? It's likely possible that Jesus could be calling you. And finally, who is being called with you? Or who is listening with you? We do not follow the way of Jesus alone. That's not how it is by design. We go together. So who also has heard a similar calling? Or who recognizes and affirms and confirms that calling in you? Who will go with you as you follow Jesus? This calling, when we hear it, it's something that stirs us deep down. It's something that simply says a deep yes when we finally catch a glimpse of it. It's the call that rings out from the shoreline, echoes across the water, and as it hits our ears, it also warms our hearts. And we assuredly drop our nets and follow the one who calls us. Because the one who calls us sees us as we are, but also as we will learn to be. So our God continues to call us to follow and to follow together. I'm grateful to better know a significant part of this Jesus community present at St. Mark's. May we all continue to attend to God's voice. May we truly hear the calling as we listen to and with one another. And may we have courage and boldness to live into what we hear, so that the world will know and experience the healing and restoring love of our God in Jesus Christ. Amen.